So we'll talk about Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni, and this is discussed in the Bavli, our Gemara. The Mishnah says you're allowed to put Tavlin into a Kli Sheni. The Gemara that you saw in Chulin about the Gzeira of Bas B'chalov, but it's discussed more explicitly in terms of what the difference should be in the Yerushalmi. There's two Yerushalmis, one after another, in Perek Gimel Halacha Dalet of Shabbos and Perek Gimel Halacha Hey. The first one, we'll go in order, in Perek Gimel Halacha Dalet. So the Yerushalmi actually asked the question, the obvious question in everyone's mind, Shaila Taisus asks, which is, why should Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni be any different? Ma ben Kli Rishon, ma ben Kli Sheni. And the Yerushalmi asks it on our Mishnah, on Mechem Shepinehu. So why should there be a difference? So there's a machlokas. The first opinion in the Yerushalmi, I'm Rabbi Yossi, kan hayad sholetes, v'kan ein hayad sholetes. In one case, it's yad sholetes. In one case, it's not yad sholetes. Now, we have to translate our terms. In the Bavli, of course, we have the term yad sholetes bo. In Yerushalmi, we have yad sholetes. And there's two ways to understand this. I'm going to first explain it the simple way. We'll get back to the alternative in a moment. But the simple understanding is yad sholetes is the same thing as ein yad soledes. Yad soledes means the hand recoils. If something's hot and you touch it, your hand will recoil. Yad soledes means that your hand could be sholet on it, meaning to say the hand does not recoil. In other words, if we were to translate Rabbi Yossi's answer into Bavli language, we would say a Kli Sheni is ein yad soledes, and a Kli Rishon is yad soledes po, and therefore Kli Rishon is mevashel, a Kli Sheni is ein mevashel. Amar Rabbi Yona, kan v'kan ein hayad soledes. No, it's not true. There is such a thing as a Kli Sheni that's yad soledes po. So what then is the difference? Ela asu harchaka l'Kli Rishon, lo asu harchaka l'Kli Sheni. They made a harchaka by Kli Rishon. Harchaka sounds like a din d'rabbanan. They made some type of din d'rabbanan by a Kli Rishon, and they didn't make such a din d'rabbanan by Kli Sheni. The simplest understanding sounds like even Kli Rishon is only d'rabbanan, but they made a harchaka. Now there's even a Kli Rishon that's yad soledes bo. Yerushalmi continues, Amar Rabbi Mana, Hahem Pincha de Orza Misayeh Leila Abba. This, a bowl of rice, is a raya to Rabbi Yona. And Hahem Pincha de Grisa Misayeh Leila Abba. This bowl of greasing is a raya to Rabbi Yona. Why? Dat Mefani Le Min Atar La Atar V'ad Kedon Hu Roseach. Again, the simplest reading, we'll see. Each of these lines has multiple readings, but I think the simplest reading is, this means to say that you take it from one to another. In other words, you take the rice from the pot and you put it into the bowl, and still it's roseach. In other words, we find that, in fact, the reality is that things could be quite hot in a Kli Sheni. And that supports Rabbi Yona, who says that kan v'kan hayad sholetes, ein hayad sholetes, I'm sorry. And if there's a difference, it's because asu harchaka. Now, we'll see in a moment, we'll read the second Yerushalmi in just a moment, but if this reading is correct, it's consistent with the second Yerushalmi halachai, which we'll see in a moment, which, again, sounds like something's only capable of meyum mevashel if it's or mehalich tachtav, which would mean a Kli Rishon l'areish can't be mevashel. And therefore, even a Kli Rishon is harchaka. Is there any other way to read this Yerushalmi? So, there is. There's a couple more ways. We'll go to the other extreme. And this is a machlokas, we'll see, The first way he read it is more or less like the Ramban. A Rishon that reads it the opposite way is the Aruch. Among the Poskim, the Shach is more like the Ramban, the Magen Avraham, the Marshal, like the Aruch. So really the Machlokas, this Machlokas appears in the Rishonim and the Poskim. But again, we'll go with the other extreme for a moment. The answer is that actually, Yad Sholetes should be read as the same thing as Yad Soledes. Okay? Shin and a sin. No. These things happen. And basically, what's going on over here? We're actually talking about when Rabbi Yonah says that they made a harchaka. So what he means to say is that they made a harchaka in a kli rishon shelo al gabei ha'esh. That's pachos miyad soledes bo. That's ein hayad soledes, meaning ein hayad soledes. Now, the tremendous maila of this reading is very simple, because now Yerushalmi and the Bavli are very, very much consistent. Simple reading of the Bavli is certainly, as we'll see and as we've seen, that even a Kli Rishon Shel Agav HaEish is capable of being Mevashel, and Yerushalmi surely agrees to that. So what does it mean they made a Harchaka by Kli Rishon? They made a Harchaka even when it's not Yad Soledes Bo. Why? Very obvious reason, because it's Zerah Atriya Soledes Bo. So really, what the Yerushalmi is saying is that Mikra Din, obviously, if a Kli Rishon, if a pot's cooled off, it's no longer Yad Soledes Bo, you can put something into it, no problem, can't be Mevashel. It's not Yad Soledes Bo, but they made Archaka. So Yerushalmi is not being, if you wish, more Kal than the Bavli, it's being much more Machmer, it's telling us a harchaka that we didn't know about. The truth is that maybe you would even say such a thing in the Bavli. If you look, I don't want to get into it so much now, but the Ritva on our Gemara actually says like this din, that there is such a harchaka, and he doesn't even quote the Yerushalmi at all. He comes to it based off of the Bavli. So you might actually say such a thing in the Bavli as well. But certainly, that's what Yerushalmi is saying. So far we have two extreme readings. Two opposite readings. How do you read Hahen Pincha de Orza, the Raya, if you learn like the second reading? It's not so pashut. Not so pashut. Because it sounds like it's saying that you could have a Kli Rishon that's Roseach, right? That's what we're talking about. So that's the first Yerushalmi. Second Yerushalmi, a little bit later, it's going on the Mishnah of Ha'ilthis Vakader Shavira Mirusachin. So the Gemara in Yerushalmi says, Mau li ten tavlin milamata v'laras alein milamala. Basically, can you do Iroi? Meaning to say, the Mishnah tells us what's the din by Kli Rishon and by Kli Sheni. You can't put something uncooked into a Kli Rishon. You can put something uncooked, assuming it's not Kali Abishal, into a Kli Sheni. What the Mishnah didn't tell us explicitly is what's the din by Iroi. Maybe there's contradictory implications, but certainly there's no explicit answer to that question. So hence, the Yerushalmi asks, what's the halacha? Can you pour from the Kli Rishon onto the Tavlin, or do you have to wait till the tavlin are in a Kli Sheni, and then you can, do you have to wait till the food is in a Kli Sheni, and then you could add the tavlin? That's the Shaila. So again, Rabbi Yonah pops up. One has to consider whether this Rabbi Yonah relates to the previous one, which is something that perhaps we'll address. Rabbi Yonah, Amar Asar, Iroi Kli Rishon. Rabbi Yonah says it's Asar, Iroi is Kli Rishon. You thought this was machlokas between Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam, so it turns out it's machlokas between Rabbi Yonah and who's the other one? Rabbi Yossi. So the Yerushalmi continues. Chai leid Rabbi Yonah min Ada. We have support from Rabbi Yonah from the following. Echad shebishel bo. Echad she'ira l'socho roshech. So here we're talking about the parsha of Chatas. There's a halacha that kli cheres asher tivushal bo yishaver, that if you cook a chatas and a kli cheres, so the blios expire, and you have to therefore break the kli. And the reason is because you can't kasher kli cheres, and the otim de definitely all one. So we know that's a pasuk that if you cook in a kli cheres, you have to destroy the pot. Well, what about if you pour it into the kli cheres? So we say, not just shebishel bo, but echad she'ira l'socho roseach. If you pour it into the kli cheres, you also have to destroy the pot, the bowl, whatever it is. So what do you see? So Yerushalmi, at this point, seems to be equating blios and bishel, first of all, l'chora. Now, could say maybe that's also tali and bishel, because it says asher tivushal bo. On the other hand, seemingly it should be tali and blios, because if they're blios, it will be asher. It's an interesting question. We'll think about that also soon. That's the raya. So we see from there, iroi kli rishon is mevashel, because you have to destroy the kli cheres that you poured the chatas into. Amar Yosi, taman kli cheres boleya, tavlin in mevashlin. Seemingly, Rabbi Yossi disagrees with Rabbi Yonah. He says that Iroi is not Mevashel. How does he deal with this din? He says, I'll tell you very simple. Kli cheres avadetz b'aleya. So yeah, there's a difference between blios and bishel. And though it's true that if you pour into the kli cheres, you have to destroy it, but that doesn't mean there's bishel. That just means there's absorption of particles. That they've absorbed the chatas, and therefore it's not coming out. And it does say me they definitely olam, and therefore you have no choice but to destroy the bowl. But that doesn't teach me it's mevashel. Maybe in Shabbos it's going to be mutter. Who says blios and bishel are the same? Heisiv Reb Yosi b'Rebbe bun, the hatani af b'kli nechoshes came. But isn't this true also for kli nechoshes? In other words, apparently we had assumed that cheres is more absorbent than kli nechoshes. We know that the Torah tells us by kli nechoshes in the same parsha that you need merika v'shtifa. You don't have to destroy the kli cheres, but you do have to do merika v'shtifa, kasher it. Okay, now is not the time to talk about, is this the same as kashering, a little different with shtifa, but for all purposes you need a kasher. Now, the Gemara says that, well, maybe a kli nechoshes is much less absorbent than a kli cheres. And therefore, the fact that the chatas, the fact that you need to do miriko shtifa with the kli nechoshes from Iroi, that shows us that it is mevashel. The raya can't prove anything from kli cheres, but you can prove something from kli nechoshes. Yislecha lameimar kli nechoshes boleya. Seemingly, at that line, we're saying like this. I'll read you the way the Karban Oida reads that line. V'chitu chalomar shekli nechoshes bol in elevadei she'iroi kebishel hu u'kid Reb Yonah v'kasher Reb Yosi. In other words, we're accepting this point, seemingly, that Reb Yonah is right, Reb Yosi is wrong, that if there's blios for kli nechoshes, that would indicate there's bishel. The way the Gra reads the line, you probably saw the Gra over here. If you didn't, you should. It's quite extensive. And he also talks about it extensively in Yoredesim and Kofei. You guys saw that last year, Mastama. It's actually interesting. Are they all saying the exact same thing? Are they saying different things? but you really have to read both. And the Gra does really hold your hand and walk you through every line in the Yerushalmi here, so it makes things much easier. There he says on this line, Ratzalomar dekli nechoshes vaday af ein boleya bekli sheni elishman, you know, de'irur kekli rishon. In other words, while I could have imagined that there are blios of a kli cheres in a kli sheni, so therefore, maybe iroi is kekli sheni, and still you have to be meshaber it, But surely there aren't blios in a in nechoshes kli shady. And therefore, we're assuming at this point the question is binary. Either it's iroi kli rishon or it's kli shani. And we know that there's no blios but kli shani, and we know there is blios by iroi, so it must be there's also bishul by iroi. Now the Yushalmi, so seemingly we've either concluded like Reb Yonah or inclined towards Reb Yonah, but then we say the following question. Mahu la'aros mina kiluach. It's not clear what this question's asking, actually. The Karban Eda says, mi ba'ile im ha'iroi alidei kiluach nami ki'iroi olo. The way the Gra reads it is that this is a little lower than regular iroi. Now, there's having considered iroi as a problem, but what about this? The way the Gra says, ma'u la'aros im ha'kiluach ratzalomar v'ho'ov ha'kiluach aruch mitzdanim. So what this means, according to the Gra, is maybe there should be a difference when you have a very long kiluach, right? I don't just pour like from here, I pour from here. Okay? So why should that be different? Very simply, you know, as it's going through the air and is exposed to the air, it's cooling down. What's going to be the halacha for that type of iroi? Is that type of iroi going to be mevasha? Or maybe not. Amar Rabbi Chananya, Braid Rabbi Hillel, Machlokas Rabbi Yonah Rabbi Yosi. It sounds like we're saying it's the same Shailo Hainuach. It's just like regular iroi is a machlokas, Rabbi Yonah Rabbi Yosi, so too. This is a machlokas, Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Gufta, the Bayikume Rabbi Mana, Asakin b'Shabbos Chai Mishum Mevashel. You had a question. What's the din by Shabbos? In other words, what? Karbineda? Em Ira b'Shabbos Chai Mishum Mevashel. Tafil Medoi Raisa Chashev B'Shal Olo. That's the next line in the Gemara. So can be bas b'chalav, chay mishum mevashel. In other words, though, are we re-asking the same question? Was the original question not about bishul? Now we're asking about bishul before blios. That's our shaila. Okay, interesting. So we have a shaila. What's it in by Shabbos? Amar lei kaye demar reb zeira veizehu chalut barer kol sha'or mehalich tachta. What's chalut barer? Clear chalut. So chalut, there's a halacha that if you put, let's say, dough into boiling water, it's not going to be machmitz. So you have to be know exactly what you're doing. You can mess up on this. That's why we have a minhag not to rely on this anymore in Pesach. Relevant for karbanos, for example. Some of the menachos were scalded in this way. But anyway, so for it to be chalut barer, i.e., and therefore not machmitz, so what do you need? You need or mehalech tachtav. Sounds like it's saying bishul al gabei haor, right? Kli rishon isn't enough. V'kan Ezu tavshil barer, korsha or mahalich tachta. Likewise, what's tavshil barer or mahalich tachta? Okay, what does this mean? Maybe it's saying that to be chaya for bishul, you need or mahalich tachta. In other words, kli rishon alayish. So even though iroi is a boleya, kli cheres, kli nechoshes, but to be chayav, to be tavshil barer, you need or mahalich tachta. In other words, if this reading is correct, we're sort of going back from what we said before. Because originally it sounded like we were inclined to say iroi is mevashel, right? We brought the raya from kli nechoshes. Now we sort of, for reasons that aren't entirely clear, seem to backtrack and retract. Now, it's a little strange because we all know the machlokas from the Nutam and Rashbam about whether Iroi is Kikli Rishon or Kikli Sheni. The truth is there's three opinions. Rashbam says Iroi is Kikli Sheni, and within the Rabbeinu Tam school of thought, there are two versions. Rabbeinu Tam is quoted differently in different Tosas and in Psachim and Zvachim and the like, but whatever Rabbeinu Tam himself actually said is, there's, among, let's say, the Balei HaTosos, there's two views. Either Iroi is Mevashel Kedei Klipa, or Iroi is Mevashel Kula. For now, the distinction need not concern us. We'll get back to that a little later. The point is, though, Iroi is Mevashel. Iroi is Mevashel. And Rabbeinu Tam brought a raya to his position that Iroi is Mevashel from the Yerushalmi. Now, the problem is the Yerushalmi says, Fakert. Yerushalmi seems to conclude that it's only Mevashel or Mahalach Tachta. So, the Shach in Yoredei, in Siman Kof Hei, and more expansively in the Aruch Mishach over there, addresses this question. He really goes through the whole sugya very carefully according to each Rishon. Barichos, hence the Aruch. The Shach wrote, the commentary we have from the Shach on the pages of Shulchan Aruch, as long as it sometimes seems, is actually short, apparently. There's the Arsal of the Aruch, a longer commentary. We don't have it on a lot of things, but we have it on some things. Anyway, so there he tells you that he was Meirich, and he's good to his word. But anyway, so basically he says, must be either one of two possibilities. Either Rabbeinu Tam didn't have this line. That's probably the Pashto. Sorry, he has, maybe we'll skip it, but he goes through and tries to, in a rather complex reading, show how Rabbeinu Tam could read this line and still think the Yerushalmi is a raya for him. But for now, we'll just stick with the simpler possibility. As we said, anyway, it's very strange. Yerushalmi seems to sort of do an about-face without explaining why exactly. Maybe Rabbeinu Tam just didn't have the end of the Gemara that we have. One way or the other, that is Yerushalmi. So now, let's consider the various different readings. The various different readings. Last year, when we discussed this, we focused more on the position of the question of klisheni. Can you prove from this Yerushalmi that there's no blios in a klisheni? Sounds like you can. The Rashba has a different reading. We're not going to really be focused on that now. Now our issue isn't about blios, and it's not right now about klisheni. It's really more a question of bishul. So what I was calling before is the simplest reading of Yerushalmi, and it's the view of the Ramban, Vidas Yerushalmi, the Ran thinks it's a Das Yerushalmi, he just thinks the Bavli argues. He doesn't think we accept this way. It's the view of the Pri Chadash, if you want. It's in Siman Sad, Samech Ches, if Katan Yud Ches. The way they read Yerushalmi is more or less what I was saying before, the Pashup Shat, which is the Yerushalmi's asking the Shaila, what's the din, what's the difference between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni? It's concluding that Kli Rishon Shalala Eish is a Harchaka. And the reason is, like the Yerushalmi concludes at the very end of the second Yerushalmi that we read, because it's only Vashel and it's Orm Halich Tachta. And the Yerushalmi, therefore, is concluding that Kli Rishon Shalaga Be'esh is a Harchaka, is a Dindir Abana. If you think that's, in fact, the Pshat of the Yerushalmi, then you have to ask, do we accept that or not? Does the Bavli disagree? The Ramban, well, let's say the Ran says, no, it doesn't. The Ran says, yes, it does, and therefore we don't accept it. Maybe the Pri Chadash, maybe the Ramban do accept that conclusion. We'll talk about in a moment why the Ran thinks it's against the Bavli. But I'll just point out something that we alluded to a couple of times ago in this year, that the Rambam might also be of this opinion. The Rambam might actually think that we accept the Yerushalmi, that there's no bishul except if or is mahalich tachta. There's no bishul deoraisa in a kli rishon shalal gamish. Now, why would you think this way in Yerushalmi, in the Rambam? So first of all, the Aruch HaShulchan makes this point, if you want, Shimon Shin Yudcha Sif Chaf and Sif Chaf Aleph, Iglei Tal as well. There are a number of reasons to think this in a Rambam. If you have a Rambam, it's kedai to open up. To Perek Chav Beis. First of all, it's very worthwhile to note that we're discussing this in Perek Chav Beis. And as we start talking about Kli Rishon, it's in Chav Beis. Chav Beis, of course, is the Rabbanan Perek. Right, the Rambam, as I'm sure you've noticed, discusses every one of the melachos first in the earlier prakim on a deraisa level, and then in the later prakim on a derabanan level. Right, so let's say for bishul, in perek, the deraisas are in perek ches, and the derabanans are in perek chav beis. It's actually interesting, by the way. Now's not the time to discuss it, but just lahayir. The Rambam starts a new perek for bishul, both in the derabanans and the deraisas, right? Very non-Rashi-esque. Rashi, as we know, is very pro sidur de pas, right? So I would have put bishul with the previous ones, right? And instead he puts it with the next set. In the next perek, same perek as Gozi's. Like, why is he dividing it that way? Not now, but it's an important ha'ara to make. When yesterday, two days ago, I told him I mentioned something like we're finishing up Sidur de Pas, and he looks at me and he smiles and he says, "What a shver Rashi." I mean, in Hebrew, he didn't use the word shver, but that was the Rashi that we are talking about a lot about. That sounds like Sidur de Pas in terms of, you know, what's a malacha and the like, you know, in terms of defining lachos. But what he was telling me in his own words without explaining was like, I learned like the Rambam. And the Rambam, this is a new perek. This is a new perek. This is perek chav beis. So anyway. Should have asked him what his take was on where the Rambam put it here. But I had a different question. Anyway, so back to the Rambam. So the Rambam, again, he talks about all these questions of basically Rishon, Ivui, Kli Sheni, in Perek Chof Beis. Now, in and of itself, you know, that's not going to be the end of the story, because in discussing the Rabbanans, he'll often mention the Deraisas, but we have to look, does he say Chayef, right? The Rambam tells us he has a rule that he's always going to be consistent about what chayiv means, what pater means. So we'll look at a couple of halachos. Let's look at halacha vav. V'chein keder osachas, af al pi shehorida me'al ha'esh. So a kli rishon shalaga be'esh, that's rosachas. Lo yitein l'toicha tavlin. Don't put tocho tavlin. Now if he held like everybody else in the world, not really everybody else, but you know what we're accustomed to learning, that this is an Isser D'Oraisa, Kli Rishon, Shalala Eish, Rosachas, what would you expect them to say? Lo Yitein, or what? Chayev. Imnasan Chayev. Sounds like the Rabbanan. That's the Aruch HaShulchan makes the diuk. Okay, maybe it could be Doicha, that he didn't want to say Chayev. Is an important point. Because you're not always Chayev. Probably. Most things can't necessarily cook in a kli rishon shalaga be'esh. Sometimes it's shayach. In other words, even if we're going to take the conventional approach, that it's shayach bishul d'oraisa for a kli rishon shalaga be'esh, does that mean that it's always chayach? I take a kli rishon shalaga be'esh, right? I take my pot of water off the fire, and I put in a raw piece of chicken. Maybe there's not. It's not going to be nadasha. We know already there's different levels. The Gemara talks about Bsar HaShur as being very slow, and Melach, it certainly can't be Melach. In other words, sometimes when we say Kli Rishon Shalaga Be'esh could be Melach on the Deraisa, we don't mean always. You know, most things will need a fire. There are very few things, actually. Not just that will cook and reach a shear of Bishol Shalaga Be'esh. Right? That's why usually people use fires, right? They don't like turn off the fire before they, you know, you're going to cook some noodles, okay? Boil the water, turn off the fire, I'll save a lot of energy. Then, you know, put the spaghetti in my pot. Right? So now, some things will cook that way. Kayadua, eggs. That's one way if you want to mess up and not overdo the hard-boiled eggs.
I put it by my mecham, so this way it only becomes soft-boiled.
Aha, soft-boiled. Anyway, you could do it without with fire off. Something. Not just calling a bishul. But probably most things won't even reach Yatzoletis. I mean, Machal Ventrisai. So maybe that's why the Rambam doesn't say Chayv. I think the Shvisas HaShabbos and his Hakdama to Melechas Bishel Sifkat Zayin is more or less Docha that Diyuk in the Rambam for that way. Why doesn't the Rambam say Chayv? Because he didn't want to. Sometimes you're Chayv, but sometimes you're not. Probably a lot of times you're not. Okay. Another diuk the Archa Shulchan makes is actually from the beginning of that halacha. Mecham shepinam yam mayim chamin, motor liten latocho mayim tzonin, kedei lahav shiran. So you have this mecham, and you took it, your mefana yamenu mayim chayim, so you could put mayim tzonin in it, lahav shiran, to warm them up. Motor latzok mayim chamin, latoch mayim tzonin, o tzonin latocho chamin, vahu, so again, sounds like a lashon of derabanan. You can't do it in a kli rishon because it makes it very hot. It doesn't say if you did it in a kli rishon you're chayav because it makes it very hot. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, oh, why didn't he say chayav? It's a raya that the Rambam holds is no bishul deraisa for kli rishon. Shalal gabe ha'or. Okay, I don't know if it's a diuk she'en ala tshuva. Maybe you could say that the ikar nakuda over here is actually to tell you what's mutter, and therefore he doesn't tell you chayiv along the way. This is perkhaf beis. He's telling you what's mutter. From halacha hey, the Aruch HaShulchan says you could be medayikit. Halacha is talking about the embati. Embati shel merchatz shehi maleh mayim chamin. Ein nosnin la maim tzoinin. Ein, again, is a lashon of derabanan. Can't, shouldn't. It's asur to put maim tzoinin into this very hot ambati. Why? Sharei mechamim man harbe. So, that's a raya. It's only derabanan, even. So you can be docha. You'll say, what's an ambati? An ambati is a cliche. Right, you already saw the Rishonim and Manar and the Bafli argue about this point. Are we talking about an Abati that's Kli Rishon or Kli Sheni? The first Sugya is talking about an Abati that's Kli Rishon. Maybe the second Sugya is talking about a Kli Rishon that's Kli Sheni. Maybe the Rama is talking about an Abati that's Kli Sheni. Maybe. The problem is that then Shemin should be Mutter. Because, right, the Gemara says, Tobish Kli Sheni V'tol. You put Shemin in a Kli Sheni? Okay. Maybe this is different. Maybe this is a chumer by ambatis. They're very hot.
So maybe it could be dochel. Okay.
What?
The Gemara is talking about an ambati.
Yeah. Okay. It's difficult. But no, the Gemara, when they said put the oil in the klisheni, take it out of the ambati and put it in a bowl. In other words, that Gemara, that ambati was definitely kli rishon. The machlokas rishonim, right, we have the first sugya, and we have the second sugya of ambati. The first sugya of ambati is a kli rishon. And the Gemara says, "Oh, take a bowl, take it, put in a kli sheni, and then you could put your jug of oil to warm up in there, right? Because that's not a big bath of very hot water. Water in a big bath can stay much hotter, much longer. No, it's talking about like a little bowl, so that's okay. But if it's an ambati that's a kli sheni, then it could be aser." The Igle Tal is also medayik. This is, I think, the most controversial one, actually, from Halacha Dalet. Halacha Dalet says, V'sach yado b'mayim o b'shemen v'chamim k'neged badur v'hu shelo yechamu hamayim shal yado shetei kriso shel tinok nechves b'ayim. So you want to warm up by the fire with your wet hands. This is like before they had those air dryers, so, you know, old-fashioned hand dryer. So make sure that you don't put your hand so close that the water on your hand would burn a baby's stomach. It's not going to burn your hand because hands have a thick skin, I guess. They don't get so burnt, especially an adult hand. But so don't do that. Now, what would be if you did it? I would have said you're chayev. But again, Rambam uses a sidrabanan type of lashon. Now, that's a much bigger chiddush than even the Aruch HaShulchan says, because there it is, Mamish Keneged Aish, right?
Where's the Derabanan Lashon?
He sounds like V'hu Shelo Yechamu. So he thought that if it was Derais, it should have said Chayev, Lashon of Chiyev. V'im ve'im chimeim ad shetehei kriso sheltin av nechves ben chayev, or something like that. As I said, if you think that the ikur nekud over here is really to tell you the what's hetter, derech agav, he's saying you what's iser. So I don't think it's...
How would the Rebbe Shulchan learn paraktes lechabiz about irik levishon?
Good. We're going to get there. So this is not, by the way, the conventional reading of the Rambam, though there are a number of diukan, as we've seen. And why isn't it the conventional reading of the Rambam? As Donnie was pointing out, and, you know, the biggest raya, not to say this, whether it's in the Rambam or for that matter in the Yerushalmi or anywhere, is how do you explain Kali Abishal? Right? We know that you're chayef for Kali Abishal. You're chayef. How could he? That's certainly not Or Mahalach Dachtov, right? That's certainly... Unless you're going to make the ukimta, that's only talking about a case when you do ivoy from a pot while on the fire. So how do you explain? How do you explain Kali Abishal?
It's also a question there and back.
So you could say, well, you're right, Kali Abishal's chayiv. But chayiv for what? What's the Mishnah say? Why are you chayiv for Kali Abishal? Neshu zegmar malachtan. Maybe. You're chayev, not for Bishol. Why not Bishol? You need Or Mahalach Tachtav. What's the chiv? Makeh b'patish.
What are you going to say about salt?
We'll get to salt in a second. Mishnah doesn't say anything about salt, so I don't have to answer that yet. Right? That's how you'll explain Kali HaBishol. Takatz Gemar Melachta. The Mishnah Berurah and the Biur Halacha over there quotes a number of Achronim who take this approach. Now, you could explain Yerushalmi that way. In fact, you might even want to add that potentially this is the Yerushalmi Lashitaso. There's a famous Yerushalmi, Perek Zayin Halacha Beis. Rav Asher Weiss is very into this Yerushalmi. If you want to look, it's in Minchas Asher Chelek Aleph Sen and Lamed. The Yerushalmi says like this: Rav Yochanan v'Reish Lakish Avdin Havye Bahada Pirka Tlus Shanin Uplug. Maybe that's a raya that we should slow down.
No, we don't pass the line.
Afkun mine arbayin chaser achas toldos al kol chad v'chad. That's why it took him so long. 39 toldos on all the 39 malachos. Min de ashkachun mismuch samchun hadelo ashkachun mismuch avdune mishum make bepatish. So it sounds like it's saying anything that they could tie to a given malacha, they did. And if they couldn't, so they stooped it under Makeh B'Patish. Wow. Says Rashi Weiss, you see from here that anything that should be a malacha, you know, you can figure out whether something's a malacha or not somehow, regardless of whether it's Doma to any of the Malachos. So if you can make it Shayach to one of the Avos, Givaldik. And if not, so it's Shayach to Makeh B'Patish.
Rambam himself in Tesbih.
Don't worry. So maybe that's the Pshat in Yerushalmi. That's why the Yerushalmi says that you need Or Mahalach Tachtav Dichaim Shem Bishol. And what about Kali Bishol? Only Makeh B'Patish. But as Rav Aaron just told us, that's a great pshat for the Yerushalmi, but it's certainly not the pshat for the Rambam. Because I've always wanted to connect my office to the face. I would have to go. Thank you, sir. So, says Aaron, as the Vir Halacha points out, that's a great pshat in Yerushalmi. Maybe you could say Yerushalmi. You can't say that for the Rambam. The Rambam tells me that Kali Bishol is Chayim Mishum Bishol, right? Bishol, not Makeh B'Patish. So therefore, this whole pshat in Yerushalmi is very, very schwer to say that the Rambam holds that you're only Chayim Mishum Bishol when it's Kli Rishon, Shalal Gabi Eish. Sorry. not. You're not Chai Mishem Bishel when it's Kli Rishon Shel Agav Yesh. He doesn't hold. What the Bavli holds, Yerushalmi holds, I don't know. But that's not what the Rambam holds, at the very least. So what are you going to do with the Aruch HaShulchan's Diyukim? I think along the lines of what we were saying before, which is, just because it can be Mevashel doesn't mean it's always Mevashel. Like you were saying, maybe by Melach, Tzad in the Bavli, or by Kali Abishel, or the like. The Karen Ora actually sort of makes this point. If you look on Daf Mem Amud Beis, in discussing Yerushalmi, he writes, Bach milsa de itmar bi Yerushalmi, de ein bishel min atoira elak shor mahalich tachtav, ikal amemar bei tre taime. It could be, say, two pshatim, hakira, right? Pshat, option one, om yishom de toldus ha'or einan ka'or min atoira, vikar bishel, right, to have, to be chai midai reis, you need or, mamish, right, sort of like Rav Shlomo Zalman's pshat, but on steroids. Shlomo Zalman just says the source of heat has to be from the fire, and not only that's true originally, but it's even true now, right? When you cook, you need or malach tachtav. Or the second option is that ein bo koach levashel kol tzarko. The tzad in Yerushalmi is that when you have or malach tachtav, it's more of a Metzias point, not so much of a Lumdisha point. It's not. So yeah, the conclusion of the Yerushalmi, we could read it as requiring or mahalich tachtav. But that doesn't mean that it's this fundamental point. And hence, you can imagine that when it comes to something like Kali Abishal, or maybe Melach, or maybe other things, that it would be an exception. It would be an exception. Happens to be that the Karen Ora himself is Docha, that second tzad, in the Yerushalmi. But maybe that's the way the Rambam learned. And if that's true, so that could explain, we could accept all the diyukim from the Aruch HaShulchan. Again, you don't have to accept them, but you could accept them and still say, but there is a possibility of Bishul without being on the fire, like certainly in the case of Kali Abishal, where that's true. Anyhow, that's a shaila in the Rambam. But one way or the other, as we've seen, the Rambam, whether he said it or not, is questionable, but certainly other Rishonim do learn that is the view of the Yerushalmi. But as I mentioned before, the Ran says that even though that is the Pshat in Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi holds that you do need Or Mahalach Tachtav, that Kli Rishon Shel Agav Yesh is only a harchaka, but the Ran says that's not the way we're going to paskin, because it's against the Bavli, it's against the Gemara in Perkira. He doesn't tell you actually where in Perkira. But I assume it's the Gemara in Lamed Chesamid Beis going on to Lamed Chesamid Aleph, because the Gemara over there asks Gilgal Beitz Amai, and it concludes your Chayv Chattas, and it says, I'll bring you a Rai. Basically, the Rai is from Kali Abishal, right? Kali Abishal. Just like Kali Abishal's Chayv, so too Gilgal is Chayv. Now, if you're going to hold that Kali Abishal is only, you know, let's say it's Vakir Patish, right? It's not Bishal. So how do you prove from it? That's also by Beitza? What kind of Rai is this?
Why not?
You could say that. But the Parshat shot is that we're bringing a raya from the fact that you don't need it to be agave ha'esh l'schayev. We see that for Kali Abishal and Yerchai Mishum Bishal, and likewise by Beitza. Maybe what you're saying, what Gabe is saying, is that those who don't look like the Ran would say that it's talking about Makabe Patrish. Maybe. Can you tell me what other raya you think? Again, it's a sort of an open question because he just says it's Muchach and Berkira. The other raya that is cited, the Gra emphasizes this raya, is a Gemara on Kuf Dalam Beis, since I think the Velt's learning Chulin. We can, if not this year, last year. Right, so the Gemara more or less says like this. For those who might not have had a chance to see it, it's an interesting shayla. The Gemara says that you're not allowed to have milchiks and fleishiks on the same table. Right? So the Gemara without getting into details, actually, Big Machlok has shown him exactly how to teach this Gemara, but without getting into too much details, the Gemara is wondering about the question of whether this is a gzeira le gzeira, because, first of all, it's Basar Oaf, which is only Durabanan, if you assume like Rabbi Akiva, and the Gemara gives some type of answer to that question, not clear what. And then the Gemara says, but Lamaisa, even if you put them together, meaning to say, you know, I'm eating fleishiks and you're eating milchiks, and they get mixed up together, but it's shaloka derech bishel. Bas b'chalav, you only chayv if it's derech bishel, lo tevashel gadi. So it's going to always be an issur d'rabbanan. So how could we make such a gzeira? It's a gzeira l'gzeira. And the Gemara answers, well, maybe you'll bring a kli rishon onto the table. So what do you see? That you're going to bring a kli rishon, and that's going to be bishel. Now, kli rishon shalaka be'or, and that's bishel bas b'chalav de'raisa, but that's also going to be bishel, presumably, b'shabbos. Right? You saw, for example, the Yerushalmi equated them. The definition of bishel is probably the same. And from the fact that we say you could have bishel with kli rishon shalaka be'esh, shows us that the Bavli, at the very least, holds that you're going to be chayev, even for kli rishon shalaka be'esh. That's the right that the Grub brings. Presumably, if you're going to hold like the Ramban or the Pri Chadash or the like, what you're going to answer, I think this is what the Pri Chadash even says, is that no, it's it's a kli rishon al ha'or on the shulchan, like in the fancy restaurants, right? That what do they call them? The poo-poo platters or something like that? They I don't know. We should next year Fort Lee. We should not just order like old Chinese. We should make them do kli rishon like I'm a
heish. I spoke to Matias over there.
That's it. Oh, so yeah. So maybe it should be a problem of that's what the Gemara is saying. But the Pashup shot. As the Gra notes on our Gemara, on our Sif and Shulchan Aruch, the Gra points out that it really doesn't sound that way. Good. So how are we going to read? Is there a way to really read the Yerushalmi? Or you could just say, like the Rad, that's what Yerushalmi says, we don't hold of it. But is there a way to read the Yerushalmi such that we can accept the Yerushalmi, but at the same time, we're also going to, you know, we'll possibly like the Yerushalmi, but reject the two extremes of the Yerushalmi. As one extreme is the Rashal, Marshal Aruch, Magen Avraham school of thought, that it's teaching me a Harchakav Kli Rishon Pachos Miatzel Ladisbo, which we probably don't accept. Right? We don't accept that extreme. And the other extreme, we also don't accept maybe the Ramban, that Pri Chadash, maybe Ramban, that the Yerushalmi is telling me that it's only chayv mishum bishul if it's al ha'esh. Is there a middle camp, something in between, that we could accept the Yerushalmi, accept al halacha, but still make it consistent with the Bavli? So that's what the Gra suggests on our siman. And the Gra says like this. The Gra says that it's sifkat and chafches, that really, we're talking about lahafshir. That's the Gemara Shaila in Yerushalmi. Can you... The Kli Rishon is Yad Soled Espo, but you're not interested in bringing your food up to being Yad Soled Espo. You're interested in just warming your food, then you're going to take it out. Right? So again, it's not the Aruch. / Marshal. The Marshal, Aruch says that Yerushalmi is talking about a Shiloh where it's less than Yad Soled Espo. I have a Kli Rishon Shalaka Be'esh, right? I took it off of the fire 25 minutes ago, now it's 98 degrees, and the Gemara says, yeah, they made a Harchaka, you're not allowed to put food into this Kli Rishon Shalaka Be'esh that isn't Yad Soled Espo. And the other extreme reading, the Ramban is saying, no, even if it is Yad Soled Espo, it's still not Mevashel. Even if it brings your food up to Yad Soled Espo, it's still not Mevashel. So the answer is somewhere in between, says the Gaon. It is Yad Soled Espo, but you are not interested in making your food Yad Soled Espo. You're going to take it out before Yad Soled Espo. You just want it to be warm. In other words, Yushalmi is basically asking a question that comes up here and in other places, right? Which is, are you allowed to put something in a matziv where it could come to Bishul, but you're going to just be very careful that the Bishul doesn't happen. You're going to stop it beforehand, right? Is that mutter? And the answer is no. They made a harchaka. Asu harchaka b'kli rishon. B'kli rishon what? Tatiyat Tzolevis, though. Not like the Ar. But also, not like the Ramban. It's a harchaka. Because they're afraid you wouldn't take it out on time. You would leave it in a little bit too long. That's a beautiful shot. What about the end of the next Yishalmi when it says you need Orm Halach Tachtav? Isn't that mefurish against this reading? It says the Vilna Gaon, Ratzal Omar, Afal Gav, de Bekli Rishon, Shinosin, Rak Lavshim, Kol Mokom Asar Chaka G'day Shalo Yitain, Sham Achi Yecham. That's the Shaila. And what about Orm Halach Tachtav? Orm Halach Tachtav means, or was Mahalach Tachtav? Not that it is. It was. It was Mahalach Tachtav. Oh. Right? Ratzalomar Shebeavar Haor Halach Tachtav. Okay, it's a little more difficult, I think, but at least that's a reading. So, according to the Gra, you could sort of have your cake and eat it. We don't have to say that very, you know, we could read the Yerushalmi without saying Yad Shaletes means Yad Shaletes. No, Yad Shaletes means Ein HaYad Shaletes. And we could read Harchaka Kapshuta, the Rambam. But we could still say it's consistent with the Bavli and that you could be Chayev for Bishul D'Oraisa, even for Kli Rishon, Shalo Agav Ha'esh. And, you know, whether or not that's the Shat and Yerushalmi or not, certainly that's what we accept, that we are concerned about Bishul D'Oraisa, even for Kli Rishon, Shalo Agav Ha'esh. Now, let's talk about some of the other Rishonim in terms of how they read the difference between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. It's Kedai actually to see the Ritva, Mem Beis Med Aleph, on this topic. We don't have time to read it together. We're going to skip to Tosfos. Tosfos addresses this question. He asked the question, sort of interesting, you know, without, he asked like the Yerushalmi's question and gives his own made-up answer. It doesn't quote the Yerushalmi. The Tosfos later on quotes the Yerushalmi on Daf Mem Beis. One, it talks about Eroi, but this one doesn't. And it gives it's his own answer. Right, but Tosfos, Avinu Tam, and the next page, they quote Raya's on Yerushalmi, no? Yeah. And the Machlokas between on Eroi, Rabbeinu Tam, it's just one page later, 1.5 pages later. I don't know. I don't know the answer. It's interesting, Ha'ara, that, you know, I would guess probably it's different Valley of Tosos, but, you know, I don't know. Anyway, but one way or the other, maybe because he read the Yerushalmi, actually, is sort of asking a different question. There's Archaka Shaila, like the Xera Shaila, right? So that's why the Yerushalmi's addressing it isn't actually so relevant. Maybe, not sure. Anyway, so Tosus gives, as I said, he gives his own answer. And what's his answer? His answer is, Demitoch sha'amar ala or dofnosav chamin umachzik chomo zman meruba. Oh. But klisheni afagad yatzaladiz bo mutter she'en dofnosav chamin v'holech umiskarer. I remember when the yeshiva was learning Shabbos many years ago. I actually wasn't learning Shabbos then. Yeah, that was the year I was learning Yordei and Chulin. But anyway, Rabbi Sapolowski gave a Musar Shmuz in a Beis Medrash all about this Tosis, about how, you know, it doesn't matter how hot you are, it matters where you're going, where you're heading. Are you going up in temperature or down in temperature? You're only going to cook if Dofnosov Miskari Rose, it doesn't matter. You could be 190 degrees learning, you know, 16 hours a day, Kli Rishon. But if if Dofnosov Miskarin, you're not going to be Mevashel. It's kli sheni eino mevashel. It does no sevus karin. On the other hand, you could be 120 degrees.
But it's about chinuch kli rishon mevashel kli sheni eino mevashel.
Especially when you put your talmidim into a pot. Okay. So that's an important message. Musar dikavart for Taisus. But what does Taisus mean, lemaisa? What does Taisus mean, lemaisa? So they say over from the Rav that Pashup Chat is telling you Metzias, right? Telling you Metzias that the temperatures of a klisheni, the Metzias is that the walls of a klisheni are cold, right? And that's certainly true. Maybe styrofoam cups notwithstanding. And there's no question that when you put something into a cold kli, that is going to cool down the object, right? In I was once at a wedding. If you ever notice, the soup you get at weddings is never yassa lettuce bow. So if you want to make a fancy wedding, how are you going to deal with that problem? Right, so like you could like maybe have like the waiters like zoom out, but that's like, you know, too much collateral damage. So what they do at this wedding, they heated the bowls. I saw the waiters giving out the bowls, and they had a towel when they handed out the bowl. So the bowls were mummished straight from the oven. They put the bowls in the oven. So, why? And then the soup was hot. Now you didn't have dofnosa of miskairos. This is like, you know, the caterer read Taisfis and he said, oh, I have a solution. Right? So that's the pshat, because he understood that what makes the soup so cold, what makes it so cold is a dofnosa miskairos. Oh, great solution. So that's what Taisfis is getting at. That's a pashup pshat. But the Rav held, no, the pshat is that it's derech bishul. In other words, of course, sometime, like, you know, lemaisa, it's going to be 160 degrees, this kli sheni, and the kli rishon is 120 degrees. You're going to say the kli rishon is not is mevashel in the kli sheni, is it? Give me a break. Because we seem to say there's like a rule across the board, right? Kli sheni is not mevashel. So the pshat is, said the Rav, it's derech bishul v'kach. In other words, since a kli rishon does not have dos nosa miskaros, it's still derech bishul even shalav adayish. Mashen kain kli sheni, since it's dos nosa miskaros, it's ain derech bishul v'kach. So even if, except for maybe kali bishul, but under normal foods, it's not the derech bishul v'kach. That's really why it's potter. It's not so much a metzias point. It's a halacha point. It's rooted in Metzius. It's not the mashmos of Tosfos. I saw the Pnei Yeshua actually learns this way, but not in Taisfis. He says, Lule Taisfis, I would tell you, over here, the Pnei Yeshua man on the base, Lule Taisfis, I would have said this pshat. So the Rav said, Lule Pnei Yeshua, I would have said it in Taisfis.
Because Rashi's done with him. Pnei Yeshua works with Rashi.
Maybe.
So Rashi,
maybe.
This makes more sense.
If you say like the simple reading of Tosfos,
yeah.
Follow that if I have a bowl in the microwave only heat the food. They don't heat up the walls of the bowl at all.
No. You could say that, but you don't have to, because there you could say that the source of heat is the soup that was getting hotter. So that, just like when you put, in other words, the soup in that case is the fire. It's getting hotter and hotter and hotter. The microwave is taking the soup and making it, you know, 140, 150, 160, 170, 180, right? And that heats up the bowl. In other words, it was exposed on the fire, not the fire. Just like Lamashal, you know, some Rishonim say that if you put the ladle into the Kli Rishon, it becomes a Kli Rishon. So too, from what? Not the fire, the soup. So too here. So you could say what you're saying, but you don't have to. You could not say that way. Again, the Parshat Pshat is the Metzius point that we said. That's probably the assumption, by the way, of that Mordechai quoted in Siftes in the Beis Yosef. Right? The Mordechai says, it's only a Kli Rishon right after you take it out from the fire, but if you leave it around for a while, even if it's still Yatzo lettuce bow, it's Dinoka Kli Sheni.
Where is this?
Siftes in the... I don't remember the exact citation. It was quoted in Siftes in the Beis Yosef over here. So, right, he's basically saying, look, the pshat is, why is a kli rishon capable of being mevashel? Like Tosa says, because dofnos and mischanemos, so it's going to stay hot for quite a while, and that will give it the koach to be mevashel. In other words, bishul doesn't take place in a second. Even a kli rishon alayishin takes some time. So the pshat is, in Tosfos, is look, the reason why kli rishon, because dofnofos mischanemos, it's going to retain its heat for longer, and memela, it could be mevashel. And the Mordechai is taking this one step further. He says, okay, that's when it's a kli rishon fresh from the fire. But if it's already cooled down a lot, even if it's still yatzo lettuce bow, it's not going to stay hot enough for long enough to cook anything, right? That's, I think, the pasha pshat. We don't accept that, Mordechai, maybe because it's a low plug. Along similar lines, we'll see in a moment, but perhaps along similar lines, we're going to see a number of rishonim, like the Rashba. Now, this is actually not how Tosis learns Ambati Sugya. But the Rashba and others who assume that an Ambati, even when a klisheni, is capable of being mevashel midel raisa. Right? Now, why? Tefnoisev miskaros, yeah. But it's so big and so hot that it can. In other words, you could learn like Tosfos and say it's not like a Gzer Sakasov. When you put something into a bowl or a dish or the like, dofnosav miskariros are such that it's never going to be capable of being mevasho. But if it's big enough, you know, ambati, I don't know, 10 gallons, right? So if you, it's true, it's a klisheni. You pour from the kli rishon into this ambati, but it's so big and so much water, you know, and so much distance maybe from the water to the walls that it's capable of cooking. In other words, we could take this approach in Tosos and say that's usually true, though not always true. Now, there's definitely going to take a fundamentalist approach to klisheni that you need or mahalach tachtav. So then there's nothing to talk about. An ambati is not or mahalach tachtav. An ambati that's klisheni is not or mahalach tachtav. But once you're going to take a metzias deka approach, so you could consider this possibility that maybe you'll have such a situation as a klisheni that can be mevashel midaraisa, because even though it's dofnos miskaros, but it's so much hot water, it's such a high temperature, capable of being mevashel. You could start along, you know, clarifying about, and maybe we won't get into all these shilas today, I guess we'll have to wait till next time, but this question is what leads to the ladle shaila, right? Because there the walls are heated up, or the davar gush shaila, where there's less exposure to walls, and the walls have a less significant impact because it, you know, chicken doesn't conduct heat as does water or chicken soup, right? Or the like. So all those shilas are stemming from this question, which is the difference between Rishon and Sheni a Mitzias de Kasvara rooted in Dofnos of Miskariros, in which case you could start talking about exceptions like Gush, and exceptions like Ambati, and exceptions like Styrofoam cups, where it's not going to reduce the cooling. That's going to be the challenge. So let's, what time is it? All right, let's at the very least start the sugya of Ambati, which comes up over here in the context of Bishul. We'll do Rechitza and bathing on Shabbos and Yantif some other time. But at the very least, the Bishul components we'll talk about now. So the Gemara, you know, the way, let's say, we could look at this question is, can a klisheni ever be mevashel? So the Gemara says, and not for Kali Bishul. So the Gemara says that you can't add cold water to an ambati. Now, according to Rashi, we're talking about a kli rishon here. This is just like in the previous Gemara, but ambati was a kli rishon. But according to Tosfos, we're talking about a kli sheni over here. And even though, generally speaking, kli sheni isn't mevashel, here it's very hot, and it looks like a kli rishon. That's what Tosfos says. The Rashba, though, as I just mentioned before, says that no, the kasha of the Gemara is because sometimes a klisheni, when very hot, is capable of being mevasho. And as we said, that makes a lot of sense in light of the distinction that Tosis makes between kli rishon and kli sheni. Meaning, it's not a fundamental distinction; it's a metzias distinction. So again, so what's the shiloh over here? Very bekitzer. Why did Beis Hillel prohibit putting tzonanim in an ambati? According to Rashi, because it's a kli rishon, just like by mechum. According to Tosfos, it's a klisheni, and it's a gzera because you shouldn't put a lot of tzonanim into this ambati because the onlooker will think that it's an ambati kli rishon due to its intense heat. And basically, the pshat is that Beis Hillel, or Moda to Beis Shammai, that there's a place to be gozer onto a kli rishon. And according to Rosh, but says Ambati, again, also klisheni, it's also to put harbei tzonanim because they're going to always come to be hafsher, and it could come to bishul. Right? Lefizeh, there is the possibility of bishul klisheni. I'll just read you two lines from the Rosh, because that's a very important point for us, because it's telling us that you could have klisheni. It's mevashal mederais. So the lashon of the Rashba is aval beambati sheomdim lerechitzas adam mechamim on harbe velkach tzonen letochamin aser liolam sheyafsher lavo lidei hafsher aval lidei bishul v'afilu nasan beambati kedei miluo v'afal pishu klisheni uva'alma inu mevashal hachashani lefishe darkan lechamim on yoser midai. If it's Cham Yoser Midai, it's possible. Now, the Chayadam takes this one step further. He says, oh, well, not just an Abati, but anytime you have Yad Nechvespo, when do we say Klishe Niz Namif Ashel? When's Yad Soledispo? That's a low temperature that, you know, it only burns the stomach of an infant. But you have Yad Nechvespo. Your hands get burnt. Oh, then you have to worry about it. That's a very big chiddush, a very big jump. The Rashba didn't say that. The Rashba said it by Ambati. Actually, it sort of sounds like, from the fact that the Rishonim don't make this distinction that such a thing exists, it really sounds like they don't think it's true. It might be plausible, conceivably, for the Rashba's Mahalich, but it doesn't sound like he was worried about this ever happening. But the Chayyadah says, why not? Why not, after all? Why do we use this term Yad Soledispo, not Nechvespo? And as the Mishnah Berurah does cite this, it sounds like at least Bitar's Chumrah, we should be Machmir for this. It's a very big Chumrah. And certainly it's not the implication of the Rishonim. And it might just be, so you could say it's because we, of a fundamental reason, we think fundamentally Klisheni is not Mevashel, it doesn't matter how hot it goes. Either because of the Rav's theory of Ein Derech Bishul B'Kach, or the Yerushalmi's theory because you need Or Mahalich Tachta for some, or it could just be a Metzias point, which is unless you're dealing with an Ambati, it's not going to be hot enough to cook. One way or the other. And Iran actually had a fourth shot over there in that Gemara. So I guess this is Sif Yud Aleph. One interesting question would be could you fill up your bath with cold water? And then add hot water from the urn. Let's say you're bathing your infant, and the restrictions on bathing don't apply. The doctor says that the baby needs a bath. So on the one hand, the Gemara says on Mem Beis Med Aleph that the halacha is like Rishon Menasya. Yeah, it's unclear. But anyway, this Rashba could mamish be an example. Of that shiloh. Okay, fine. I don't want to get into bathing so much. But that's... Ha ha ha. I guess just one comment on Yad... Oh, I'll get there. On Yad Nechvespo, which is... And Yad Soledispo, this will be a final point. So what is... again, for the Chayadam, we see that Yad Nechvespo it's hotter than Yad Toled Esbo. Yad Nech Feis Bo means it's hot enough to burn the hand. Yad Toled Esbo means it's hot enough to burn the baby's stomach, but not the Yad. The Yad will recoil, but not be burnt. And as I mentioned, the Mishnah Berurah cites this Sif Katan Mem Ches LeHalacha. But as I said, I think most poskim don't accept this. Could even be the Sefer Shabbos Kitchen of Simcha Bunim Kohn in Perk Beis Arachaf suggests maybe even the Mishnah Berurah is only choshesh for the Chai Adam by Pas, because he's worried more about Kali Abishol, if you notice. That's why he only cites it over there. Anyway, so what is Yad Toled Esbo? So we have this very strange idea over here of, you know, there's two shiurim, as you notice. We have the Yerushalmi's, the Bavli's shear of the Tinok's stomach is burnt. And then we have this concept of solaid. The Yad is solaid, but it doesn't get burnt, right? But the way Yerushalmi puts it is, could the Yad be solaid? So why don't we say Yad burns? So the answer is because it's Aser Shaykh Bishul, even if it wouldn't burn the hand. Now, so good, so that's what come down to burning the stomach. But burning the stomach isn't a very helpful shear because you don't want to experiment too much with that. But Yad Toled Esbo, you could sort of try to experiment on that, try to figure out what it is. Rav Moshe writes, when he gives a shear, it's a 110, less than 110 is okay. He says, how do we figure it out? Because we experimented. So why do you need the other shear? Presumably because that's not such a helpful shear because it's not objective. Meaning to say, lots of different people have different abilities to touch hot things, right? I remember my grandmother could like take a pot out of the oven with her bare hands. But even if that's a tzad kitzoni, but different people will have different abilities to be sholed in different temperatures. So that's a hard temperature to gauge. Rebbe Willig said, must be Rav Moshe had like 100 bachrim in this year, I'll touch a pot. And like, you know, from it wasn't like you couldn't check by yourself. It's just such a different range. It must be like 100 different people check. Now, so as I said, Rav Moshe says 110 degrees. Shlomo Zalman has 113. He is an interesting chab because the Rishonim say that the base of Shechita is less than Yad Toled Esbo. So he figured, what's the hottest base of Shechita? So that's something you could measure with a thermometer. I think she tried with a goose or something. Goose has apparently, among commonly shechted kosher animals, has a very high base of Shechita temperature. So he shechted it, then he put in a thermometer, he checked 113 degrees, so that's safe. The Rav says, apparently, Shachter quotes as saying 140. It's wow. Very strange that it's such a big range. Like, even Rav Moshe writes that it's 110 lachomra and 160 lachomra. So, like, what kind of, like that's a huge range. The difference between 110 and 160 is huge. Well, so, Willard thinks, he actually has all shtickle tire, it makes this machlokas between the Baal and the Ramban, but he thinks that the reason why there's such a big range, why was there so much uncertainty? Because, and sometimes the higher temperatures are cooler, sometimes the cooler. He thinks it's because it depends on whether you say solaid when you're prepared or solaid when you're not prepared.
How's that relevant?
Meaning
that
to say, no, well, that's the shot. That's what we're not sure about. Now, how do you touch the Gemara? The Gemara says, if you touch it, your hand is going to be recoil, right? Now, if you're expecting something hot, you're able to handle much more. If you're expecting something less, if you're expecting something cold, like you put your hand down on something you expected to be cold and then it turns out to be hot, at a much lower temperature, your hand will recoil. So we're not sure what solaid means. Is it solaid from when you expect it? Then it's going to be a much higher temperature, but well above 110. You can steel yourself to like hold on to something hotter than 110 if you're ready, you're prepared. It might be a little bit painful, but you could do it, right? You could take it out, like, I think, you know, when my grandmother used to take the things out of the oven, I think it may have hurt her. Yeah, she was a tough cookie, you know. Pain, schmain. You know, you Americanish zachin, you're worried about pain. Come on. So, you know what I used to do with these hands? So, but even, you know, there's a certain temperature that even she would go above.
140.
Right? So 160, 180. Moshe thinks it's 180 in one place, 160 in another place. So that's how Rabbi Willig understood why in the poskim, and why we ourselves are so unsure. You know, l'chumra, we're going to be choshing in both directions, such a big range, because it's hard to know exactly how to define it. Just, again, some Rav Aaron Cutler was said it's 120. Willig sort of thought it was more like 120. And Kashrus maybe were a little more makel. But just to give you a you know, maybe some degrees to let you have a feeling of what this is in real life. So in the 39 Melachos book, so apparently a child's bath water is usually 100. An adult bath water is like 110. Most people, their hottest tap water in your house, now you could set it. I think I set my hot tap water, the boiler, at 125 or 120. But that's the temperature of the boiler. By the time it gets to your shower, two flights up, it might be cooler by then. But 120, 125, and you know, you get appreciation of that, because most people don't do only hot water with their shower, right? You mix in cold. You don't do all only hot. And that's like 120, 125, you know. So you see that, you know, you wouldn't want to take a shower at that. Coffee, hot coffee with milk added is 125. Hot tea, 165. It does. How much is the tea cooled down?
Depends heavily. If you have, like, professional tea makers, the oolong will be heated to a very different...
They could get it to 240. It's unbelievable. Boils at 212, but you know what you're doing.
Only
that
tea should be made to 212.
Anyway, so that's what some of the postcom say. Okay, so we'll talk about this a little bit more next time and some of the interesting shilas.